Well, Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Let's begin reading this morning in verse number 6, and we'll read through verse 13. I'm going to preach the same message I preached a year ago at camp. So some of you will be familiar with it, and I'm assuming, since I preached it at camp, I probably at some point preached it here as well. Now, we used Mark's account of this incident as our text when I preached it, but it is also found in Matthew and John, and so we have come to it in our study of the book of Matthew. And while this message might be a repeat for some of you, it's probably one that is very necessary. So Matthew 26, verse number 6, it says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she poureth this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her." I want to preach this morning on the subject of devotion. But let's pray. Lord, thank you again for the ability and freedom that we have to assemble together in this building today. Lord, we love the Word of God. We know that we are not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Lord, we understand that Job esteemed the words of thy mouth more than his necessary food. And Lord, I pray that we would get to a place where we would love and esteem the Bible as highly. Lord, might we find principles and truths in the Bible this morning that would greatly help us. And Lord, might we seek to pattern our lives after the principles of the Word of God. And Lord, while the world many times will not understand why we go to the extent that we do in our service for Thee, might we learn to be content, knowing that You find it commendable. So Lord, bless as we look at this passage of Scripture this morning. May Jesus be exalted, may Your people be helped, and Lord, if there's anyone in our midst who is lost, might they trust Christ as Savior. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the subject is that of devotion. What is devotion? Devotion means that you are loyal, committed, or dedicated to a particular thing, person, or cause. You may have heard someone refer to them being devoted to their spouse. And by that, they mean that they have forsaken all others and have given their love and their affection to the one that they're married to. Sometimes people, maybe they don't use the word devoted, but whenever you look at their actions and listen to their words, you can determine that they're very loyal, they're very devoted to a particular sports team. Maybe it's demonstrated by the way that they dress. Maybe they always have, you know, Cardinal Red on. Maybe they always have Chicago Blue on. Maybe they always have Green Bay Packer Red and Yellow on. Normally if someone is green and yellow. I see you guys know your sports team. At least that one anyway, huh? But you can normally tell when someone is devoted to a particular team. That's the team they root for. That's the team they talk about. That's the team whose jerseys they wear. Sometimes people aren't devoted to a particular sports team, but they're devoted to the sport themselves. And they forsake all other earthly pursuits so that they might be the very best at what they do. Again, I can talk at length about individuals who have made tremendous sacrifices to be the very best athlete that they can. Of course, my favorite sport to talk about is that of wrestling. And even at camp this year, I talked a little bit about one of my favorite sports teams, which is the Iowa Hawkeyes. But it's not their football team, it's not their basketball team, it's their wrestling team. Because they have become the standard for wrestling. Dan Gable, Mr. Wrestling himself, was the head coach of the Iowa Hawkeyes for years. He's an Olympic champion. He won 2 national championships, the only match he ever lost in his college career, and maybe even in his high school career, was the final match of his college career. A match he probably should not have lost, but he blames the loss on not being prepared mentally and too much hype surrounding the fact that he could be the first college wrestler to go undefeated. But he's Mr. Wrestling. He coached Tom and Terry Brands, both national champions. And at least one of them was an Olympic champion. Tom Brands, who is the coach now of the Iowa Hawkeyes. And both Dan Gable and Tom Brands teach and instruct their wrestlers to live wrestling. Don't talk about in season and out of season. He says there is no off season. You wrestle year round. There is no break from wrestling. You devote yourself to it. That's what they instruct their wrestlers. And that's why they have become the best. That's why they have become the standard. Because they devote themselves to that one thing. Devotion can be illustrated by people who devote themselves to a particular cause. I mean, I know people who are devoted to the cause of autism. And that's because they have a child that's autistic. I know people who devote themselves to the cause of dogs. Now that one strikes me kind of strange, but everything in their life surrounds dogs. Every post they make on Facebook is surrounding dogs. Trying to help dogs. It seems misguided to me a little bit, but I mean, I like dogs and all, but they're dogs. The Bible really doesn't have much good to say about dogs other than they're better than a dead lion. That's the only good thing said about dogs in the Bible. But that's what is meant by devotion. When you're devoted to a spouse, you refrain from all others. When you're devoted to athletes, you refrain from all earthly pursuits. When you're devoted to a cause, you give all of your time. You give all of your money. You give all of your efforts to that cause. That's devotion. But as we look at the subject of devotion this morning, we're not talking about being devoted to a particular sports team. We're not talking about being devoted, you know, to eliminating obesity or saving the whales. We're talking about being devoted to a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Because here in the Bible we have an example of a woman who was devoted to the Savior. And we're going to look at 3 things about this woman's devotion. Its cost, its criticism, and its commendation. And so notice first the cost of devotion. It says in verse 6, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat." Will you notice here the cost of devotion? Mary has this alabaster box a very precious ointment. And no doubtedly that refers to the financial cost of this product. In the other accounts, it says that this alabaster box of ointment was worth up to 300 pence. Now, I don't know if a pence is the same as a penny, but in our Sunday school class, we were talking about the worth of a penny in the Bible and how it was equivalent to a day's wages, and that's what Matthew 20 and verse 2 says, because a man agreed to pay his laborers a penny for working in his vineyard for one day. And if it is equivalent, if a penny is equivalent to a pence, then this value equals 300 days' wages. That's nearly or approximately a year's salary. And so if that's correct, then it appears to me that this alabaster box of ointment is worth maybe $40,000. In modern times, $40,000. That's a pretty high cost, don't you think? And yet she took that box and she broke it and poured it upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. $40,000. Perhaps her most valuable possession in all the world. Perhaps one of her only possessions in all of the world. And yet she took it. And she gave it to the one that she was devoted to. And I submit to you that it was probably precious for many more reasons than just its monetary value. When our daughters reach a certain age, we give them what we call an alabaster box. And it too is a container of perfume. And that container is to be sealed until their marriage night, where it is to be used. And this is supposed to give them motivation to maintain their purity until the day that they get married. And I don't know if that's why Mary had this alabaster box. I'm not sure if that was its purpose, but it would seem to me that maybe that tradition has passed itself down from generation to generation to where now me and my wife even put it into practice. And if that was the case, then this ointment not only had a value because of its monetary worth, but it had a value because it was representative of her dreams as a young lady. This was something that she was going to use on the most special night of her life. That perfume was going to be used to place upon the head of her husband. But now she used it on the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this not only cost her 300 pence, it cost her dreams, her goals, her ambitions. She denied herself, which is one of the requirements of a true disciple, so that she might pour this upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this speaks, I believe, of the cost of devotion. You know, if you're going to devote your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to cost you something. It will cost you. Sometimes it costs you your friends. Because when you devote your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, some of your friends, they just don't understand you. And they don't understand why you do the things that you do. And pretty soon, they naturally distance themselves from you. Because they themselves aren't willing to devote themselves to Jesus Christ and the principles of His Word. Many times, being devoted to Christ means you lose your friends, means you lose popularity You lose prosperity. You lose your dreams, your plans. They're out the window because now you're loyal to this Savior, this one that's going to guide you. And you say to Him, I am yours and you do with me whatever you want. Christianity doesn't understand this today. But following the Lord Jesus Christ means forsaking everything. Homes and lands and friends and families and saying, I'll do and I'll go wherever you want me to go. And I'll say whatever you want me to say. Because I'm yours. I'm going to devote my life to serving you, Jesus. Jesus Himself forsook prosperity, didn't He? The prosperity of heaven to come to the earth. While there was a year He was popular, His popularity soon waned. He even lost His friends, didn't He? Judas and even the other disciples were scattered when He was taken. If you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're going to devote yourself to Him, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. And so just understand that. Because if you don't understand it, Jesus gave us parables to suggest that we'll quit when persecution and trouble arises. But if we understand these things are to come, it will help us to prepare for Him. But notice secondarily, not only the cost for devotion, but notice the criticism associated with devotion. In verse 8 it says, and when His disciples saw it, saw what she had done, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Now at least one account of this incident says that Judas was the instigator here. And that he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. But he wasn't the only one to criticize the actions of Mary. So did all of the other disciples. They too criticized the act of Mary. And folks, understand, the disciples, at least the 11, they were saved. They were following the Lord Jesus Christ, at least to some extent. But even those who were saved, and even those who were following the Lord Jesus Christ, were critical of Mary's devotion to the Savior. I believe in essence what they were saying in response to what Mary did was she went too far. And if you have strived to faithfully serve the Lord Jesus Christ in everything you do, I bet you've heard other people say to you, you've gone too far. There's no reason to go that far. That's a waste. But as I've always said, I believe it's impossible to go too far for Jesus Christ. Some say, preacher, you don't have to have your wife and your daughters wear only dresses. You've gone too far. I don't believe so. Preacher, you don't have to forsake the music industry entirely. There's some good stuff out there. Well, I don't know about that. Preacher, you don't have to shun every movie that's produced by Hollywood. There's some out there rated PG, rated G. But folks, I will tell you that if the entire music industry was taken and cast into the depths of the sea, and every Hollywood movie and producer and actor was done the same with, I don't think that any of us would be the worse off. I don't think I've gone too far. If anything, I haven't gone far enough. I don't understand this form of Christianity that thinks everything's acceptable. It's all right to get a tattoo. I mean, if it's a cross, hey, for Jesus. There's nothing wrong with having my tongue pierced. The Bible doesn't say anything about that. Well, it does. And even if it didn't specifically, there in the Old Testament, a Christian ought to have enough sense to know there's no godly purpose for doing so. And just in case you're not aware, it's a mutilation of the body. Your temple is the body of Christ. That's New Testament. Amen? And it is a practice of the heathen. And again, it's one of those things I've never been studying along with in my Bible and said, hey, I think I'm going to go get my tongue pierced for Jesus. That is never going to happen. Gone too far. I don't think you can go too far. But when you strive to pattern every area of your life after the principles of the Bible, there are going to be people who are critical. They're going to be critical of you. And by the way, I've made reference at home and in the church in the last few weeks about conversations I've had with other people. I don't instigate the conversations. They instigate them. They ask in regards to my convictions. And then whenever I give them my convictions, they try to convince me that I don't have to do that. And I'm like, look, you ask me. These are my convictions. Are you asking me to step on my conscience? Are you asking me to violate my conscience and go against my convictions? Because the Bible does say whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And if I can't do something with the conviction that it's right and that it's proper, then for me to do it is sin. But you see, that's not really why they're trying to convince me that my convictions are wrong. Do you know why most people are trying to convince me that my convictions are wrong? Is because when they hear of them, they are guilty that they have not went as far in their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do I understand that? Because you know what? I've been confronted with people who, believe it or not, have much greater convictions than myself. And I know what human nature is like. And human nature gets on the defensive. Human nature feels guilty. Human nature feels like they went further than I have, and so I better tell them they went too far, otherwise it makes me look bad. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. You just have to be human. If you devote yourself to Jesus, there will be people who are critical. Many of them will be Christians who are serving Jesus Christ. How do you know that? Because that's what happened to Mary. And so don't think you're going to be any different. But if you want to go through this walk with Christ without any confrontation, without any trouble, and just getting along with everybody, you know what? Just don't devote yourself 100% to Jesus. Because then you can earn the approval of the entire world. You know why the world loves even Billy Graham? Because he's never going to talk about anything that's confrontational. And even when he's asked whether or not the heathen who have never heard of the gospel, whether or not they go to heaven or hell, he is vague in his answer. Because he knows that the answer's directly and forthright. That'll probably be the last time that he's interviewed on a national scale. Devotion, it's cost. It will always cost you something. It's criticism. There'll be people who don't understand. There'll be people who criticize and say that you've went too far, but I don't believe you can go too far for Jesus. I believe if we gave all, it still would be too small. And then lastly, notice the commendation. Verse 10, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. I got a whole other message I want to preach on that verse. Think about that for a moment. It doesn't really have anything to do with our message. For ye have the poor always with you. Do you know Jesus is a greater priority than even the poor? Our love for Jesus is to be even greater than our love for others. And then Jesus said in verse 12, for in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial, because within a week Jesus would be buried. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. You know, the Bible tells us of many great people and many great acts that they performed. The Bible says John the Baptist is the greatest ever to be born of women. The Bible speaks of Abraham being faithful. Speaks of Elijah being able to pray that it rained not, and then it rained, and you know what? His prayers were answered. Talks about how the Samaritan, or who was it, had great faith. Many people are commended in the Bible, but you know what? This commendation seems to go beyond even how Jesus commended some of those people. Because wheresoever it says that the gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told of her for memorial. You know, in the end, when people do criticize us for thinking that we've went too far for the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to rest in this, that Jesus will commend us, not condemn us. It really doesn't matter what the rest of the world has to say about our actions. If the whole world is against us, if all of Christianity is against us and opposes us and expresses their disdain and indignation for us, it really doesn't matter in the end, so long as our actions and our behavior meet with the approval of Jesus Christ. That's all that matters. If you understand that, it will help you to make it through those times when even Christians are critical of your actions. Because I tell you, when those criticisms come, many times they create doubt and questions in our mind. We begin to ask, am I doing what is right? Am I too radical? Am I going too far? I mean, after all, the peers were universally criticized by others. But I tell you, when those times come, just remember that one encouraging voice, the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, because His voice is the only one that matters. Yes, we need to be saved. And if we're not saved, that's our most urgent need. Trusting Christ as our Savior. But beyond that, we need to be devoted to Jesus Christ. We need to be devoted to Him. And again, when we are, understand though, it's going to cost us. But even David, remember whenever he was going to perform a sacrifice, and the gentleman said, you can have this land, you can have all the cattle you want to sacrifice to the Lord. And he says, no, I'm not sacrificing anything to God that doesn't cost me something. Because that takes away or diminishes it. And if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ and it never costs us a thing, it really kind of diminishes our service to Him. But don't worry, you won't have to go out of your way to find out what it's going to cost you. It will come and smack you right dab in the middle of the face. People will criticize. When you begin to adopt biblical principles into your life. You embrace convictions and they become obvious to others. There will be people who will criticize. But don't let it bother you, because there's only one voice that matters, and that's the voice of Jesus Christ. And what Mary did here, received the commendation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll devote your life to Him, He'll commend you as well. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for the lessons that we can learn from this account that's before us in the book of Matthew. Lord, here we see an example of a woman who was devoted to You. And Lord, it's seen in her actions, and yet her actions were criticized even by those who were following Jesus Christ. And Lord, I'm confident that if we determine to devote ourselves to the cause of Christ, that we will receive criticism, not just from the world, but many times we'll receive criticism from within the ranks of Christianity. But Lord, encourage us by this message, helping us to realize that there's only one voice that really matters, and that's the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, when it appears that the whole world is against us, if we know what we're doing is right, according to the Bible, encourage us. Help us to be more concerned with Your approval than the approval of the world. So Lord, bless the message as it's went forth this morning. Use it for Thy glory. Use it for the benefit of Thy people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to 3.